He waited without sleeping, listening to the aroused crickets in the endless hours of early morning and the implacable telling of time by the curlews, more and more convinced that he had been deceived. Suddenly, when anxiety had broken down into rage, the door opened. A few months later, facing the firing squad, Arkady would relive the wandering steps in the classroom, the stumbling against benches, and finally the bulk of a body in the shadows of the room and the breathing of air that was pumped by a heart that was not his. He stretched out his hand and found another hand with two rings on the same finger about to go astray in the darkness. He felt the structure of the veins, the pulse of its misfortune, and felt the damp palm with a lifeline cut off at the base of the thumb by the claws of death. Then he realized that this was not the woman he was waiting for, because she did not smell of smoke, but of flower lotion, and she had inflated, blind breasts with nipples like a man's, a sex as stony and round as a nut, and the chaotic tenderness of excited inexperience. She was a virgin, and she had the unlikely name of Santa Sofia de la Piedad. Pilar Ternera had paid her 50 pesos, half of her life savings, to do what she was doing. Arcadio had seen her many times working in her parents' small food store, but he had never taken a good look at her because she had that rare virtue of never existing completely except at the opportune moment. But from that day on, he huddled like a cat in the warmth of her armpit. She would go to the school at siesta time with the consent of her parents, to whom Pilar Ternera had paid the other half of her savings. Later on, when the government troops dislodged them from the place where they had made love, they did it among the cans of lard and sacks of corn in the back of the store. About the time that Arcadio was named civil and military leader, they had a daughter. The only relatives who knew about it were Jose Arcadio and Rebecca, with whom Arcadio maintained close relations at that time, based not so much on kinship as on complicity. Jose Arcadio had put his neck into the marital yoke. Rebecca's firm character, the voracity of her stomach, her tenacious ambition, absorbed the tremendous energy of her husband, who had been changed from a lazy, woman-chasing man into an enormous work animal. They kept a clean and neat house. Rebecca would open it wide at dawn, and the wind from the graveyard would come in through the windows and go out through the doors to the yard, and leave the whitewashed walls and furniture tanned by the saltpeter of the dead. Her hunger for earth, the cluck-cluck of her parents' bones, the impatience of her blood as it faced Pietro Crespi's passivity, were relegated to the attic of her memory. All day long she would embroider beside the window, withdrawn from the uneasiness of the war, until the ceramic pots would begin to vibrate in the cupboard, and she would get up to warm the meal, much before the appearance, first, of the mangy hounds, and then of the colossus in leggings and spurs with a double-barrel shotgun, who sometimes carried a deer on his shoulder, and almost always a string of rabbits or wild ducks. One afternoon, at the beginning of his rule, Arcadio paid them a surprise visit. They had not seen him since they had left the house, but he seemed so friendly and familiar that they invited him to share the stew. Only when they were having coffee did Arcadio reveal the motive behind his visit. He had received a complaint against Jose Arcadio. It was said that he had begun by plowing his own yard and had gone straight ahead into neighboring lands, knocking down fences and buildings with his oxen until he took forcible possession of the best plots of land around. On the peasants whom he had not despoiled because he was not interested in their lands, he levied a contribution which he collected every Saturday with his hunting dogs and his double-barreled shotgun. He did not deny it. He based his right on the fact that the usurped lands had been distributed by Jose Arcadio Buendía at the time of the founding, and he thought it possible to prove that his father had been crazy ever since that time, for he had disposed of a patrimony that really belonged to the family. It was an unnecessary allegation, because Arcadio had not come to do justice. He simply offered to set up a registry office so that Jose Arcadio could legalize his title to the usurped land, under the condition that he delegate to the local government the right to collect the contribution. They made an agreement,